I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tim Jones back.
No, I'm definitely not America's sweetheart.
This is Armageddon.
So Tim's in studio with us now. Gabe, Tony, Katie, and I all hanging out in here. And the stock market is way down. And we are hearing about China adding tariffs to U.S. goods. And the president is saying that FedEx can't ship things to China or fentanyl or something. What is going on today, and how is this going to get over through the weekend?
First of all, you gotta love Don Lemon, right?
That's Lemon.
What we call it. Don Lemon. Yeah. Boy, is he the most sanctimonious person you've ever come across? I mean, he's just...
That's one word for it.
Yeah, that's one word. That's one word we can say on air, right,
yeah,
Gabe?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, here's the deal. Has anybody noticed, okay, even those of us who are not economists, I do play one on TV often, especially when I go on my speaking circuit, and I know a lot of great economists. Mm-hmm. Is that a racist thing to say? No, that's only if I say I have friends like Gabe, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
I know a lot of great economists. I do, I've studied a lot of economic theory, and a lot of it is not as difficult as the left wants to make it. They think that all their eggheads like Paul Krugman are the only ones that have it figured out. But have you noticed a pattern here over the last few weeks or months? When Donald Trump talks about getting tough on tariffs with China, the stock market goes down. When Donald Trump says, we're near an agreement, I think we're about to work something out with China on tariffs, the stock market goes up. That's exactly what's going on here. In the meantime, when we're not talking about those things, the stock market continues to steadily rise. So you have the flashpoints on the tariff talk. And there's one other thing, too. There's two things driving the market right now in major meteoric fashion. Tariffs and Federal Reserve policy. Those are the only two things at the current time that are making the stock market go up dramatically or down dramatically. In the meantime, in the in-between times between those two bookends, if you notice, the stock market generally has been ticking up. Why? Because we're in a really good economy right now. And as our good friend Stephen Moore, Andy, yeah, we were talking about during the break, is as fond of saying, we're in the longest period of a bull run of peace and prosperity our nation has ever experienced. This is absolutely true. And I happened to be at a conference last week in Austin with the American Legislative Exchange Council. It's a trade association of state legislators, and Steve and I are on the board of this national organization, which is really an honor to sit next to brilliant people like him. I got to introduce Governor Doug Ducey at an event last week. He talked to Shoshana Weissman, who's kind of the new era, new generation Kennedy. You know, she's got purple and blue hair, and she's a huge libertarian. And they were talking about occupational licensing reform, which is a huge thing for Republicans and libertarians to embrace. And Stephen Moore gave a speech one morning at one of the breakfasts, and I won't bore everybody with describing charts and graphs, but he had a lot of really cool charts and graphs. And let me put this in a nutshell, and let me destroy the talking points of the left and their delusion that they've had over the last few years, in addition to the Russian collusion narrative. Obama's economy was not good. Trump's is. In a nutshell, that's what Stephen Moore taught us through looking at numbers, charts, and graphs, black and white,
oh, yeah,
blue and red, things that do not lie. And the biggest way to describe this is, yes, Barack Obama began his presidency while we were in the middle of a recession. That's a fact. However, what's also a fact is he had the slowest, most anemic recovery of any president since World War II, and that's because his policies were not good for a recovery. You look at what happened to the economy when Donald Trump got into office, and it's the hockey stick effect with the short end at the bottom and the tall end at the top going all the way up. And that's because immediately the market reacted, unlike what Paul Krugman prophesied on the night of the election. On the day after the election, the market went up, I believe, over 400 points and hasn't looked back. We've hit several historic highs since Trump has been in office, and that's because the immediate thing he did Well, immediately the economy knew we were going to get some certainty back. And that's what the economy likes the most. That's what markets like the most. The next thing he did was he cut tens of thousands of regulations. I think they've cut, at last count, I looked, over 50,000 regulations. Isn't that amazing? Oh, yeah. And businesses like that, too. The third thing he did was reform the tax code for the first time since Ronald Reagan, first time in a generation, the market and the economy, markets and the economy like that. And the fourth thing he has done, and the market will eventually love this, he's taking on an issue that every president before him has punted on, and that is the horrible position that we find ourselves in the issue of trade against China. What Stephen Moore said was, look, here's where the president and I often differ. It's on trade. I'm a free trader. I want to stay after free trade. But where I agree with the president is, this issue with China wasn't going to get better the longer that we ignored it. And so I'm glad he's taking it on. It's wise that he's taking it on. We eventually will win because our economy is still larger than China's. Mm-hmm. But if we had continued down this path of letting China eat our lunch on trade deficits, they would soon surpass us. They are the second largest economy in the world, only after the United States, not Russia. Not even Greenland, China. And that is why it was wise for us to have this battle now, because it wasn't going to get better into the future.
Well, I know you had Stephen Moore setting all that up, but if you were, you know, you're at a meeting and he, as you said, black and white papers, charts and graphs.
But truth over facts.
I don't know how that really just, if you were running for president,
it wouldn't have worked.
There are some things that are important and there are some things that aren't.
Hyper Joe.
And I just think that you got to choose between truth or facts.
What's wrong?
Hard decision.
Is Joe have enough gas in the tank? I'm starting to wonder. I'm getting worried sick about
him. I just think that the wrong kind of gas got put in the tank. That's why you make the diesel pump the different size, because
different color.
To me, I feel like it still runs, but maybe just a little different.
Perhaps.
I really do believe that Joe Biden is a formidable opponent for President Trump. I might be the only person who's like okay with saying that right now, because I'm sure I could be extremely wrong in November. But I think that Donald Trump is a caricature of himself, and Trump supporters don't care that the president can say some really awful things from time to time.
Bizarre.
I still support his policies, and I voted for him in 2016 because I didn't want Hillary to get elected. I'd vote for him again because I don't want Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders to win. So he's got my support. The question is, what does Donald Trump have to do to make me not support him? His policies are on for me. I agree with his policies, and I think the same, if Joe Biden caricaturizes, is that a word, himself enough over time, as if he hasn't been Uncle Joe long enough already, I think he might be immune to these gaffes. Immune! Donald Trump is immune to what he's created for himself, and I think the same could be there for Joe Biden.
Yeah, he's a gaffe machine. I just don't think he's as interesting as Donald Trump, and that's where he will likely lose the battle of gravitas. And
but who's he offending? Because Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris, they're out there talking about policies that do offend people.
Right.
I don't see Joe Biden. Joe Biden is 100% politician and his aviators and his no tie, white, crisp button up shirt and jeans. And he's going around and he's making these human to human connections that look a lot more natural than Bernie Sanders in a ball cap holding a baseball.
He's got some great interpersonal communication skills.
Yep, I'll agree with you. I'll argue with you on the fact that I'll look at history with Joe Biden. The previous two times he has tried this, he has epically failed. Now, third time could be the charm.
What if the media and the pundits all want him to win so bad that they cover up all of his mistakes and they continue to highlight Donald
Trump?
They
will. They allowed Hillary Clinton to basically break federal law and get away with it, you know, multiple times with the server in the closet in Colorado, which was an absolute violation of federal statutes, rules, and regulations. So they will absolutely cover for him. I will say, though, and Trump tweeted this. He's the master of memes as well. Tweeted this meme out today. A new approval rating came out. It was probably Rasmussen. So that's where the left will argue that Rasmussen's not accurate. But
is that
graded
on a curve?
Yes, but I will argue that Donald Trump's entire presidential run was graded on a negative curve because the night before the election, Hillary Clinton was predicted to win by like 10 points. Yeah. So he tweeted out a new approval rating today of 51%. So here's the deal. With everything they've thrown at him, no other person in the world could withstand the daily barrage over the last 3 years. The guy has an approval rating, whatever you think it might be, it is near 50%, no matter what poll you might believe. Could you imagine what it would be if he got an ounce of positive support from a network other than Fox News.
As opposed to the 96% negative that one Harvard study showed.
So, Annie, here's what I think about Joe Biden. I just don't think he's got enough for the long run. He's not interesting. He is not an interesting person. Yes, they'll cover for him. Yes, he looks presidential. But in order to be president of the United States, you have to have that intangible it factor, that gravitas that can not just fill a room, not just fill a hall, not just fill an arena, but a stadium. You know, you have to be Barack Obama-esque with the Parthenon pillars behind you, or you have to be Donald Trump at a rally in New Hampshire with 12,000 people. That's half the state. You know, they came out to see him last week.
Never underestimate the power of enthusiasm.
When you listen to all these polls and you hear what's the poll from and where is it, and everybody on every side of the aisle says, here's a poll that says this and that's why X, Y, Z. Oh, that poll doesn't matter because it was blah, blah, blah. The president of the United States was polled by the American people, and he received 304 electoral votes. That's the only poll that matters that the Democrats still refuse to accept. The president right now, while the Dow Jones is freaking out because of tariffs and scary trade deals and an economy and a Fed and all these words that people hear and they're like, they're probably more important than I understand. 16 minutes ago, the president tweets, the Dow is down 573 points, perhaps on the news that Representative Seth Moulton, whoever that may be, has dropped out of the 2020 presidential race. That's the president of the United States, and people love him for it and they equally hate him for it. And those people are all in the camp already.
Look what happened, though, a week and a half ago. The Dow dropped 800 points, right? Mm-hmm. And the media hasn't talked about the economy in like a year and a half.
Why
not? Because
it's
doing so well.
Yeah, absolutely.
The day the Dow dares to drop a few hundred points, it's breaking news, top of the fold, banner headlines all over the crawlers. It's nonstop coverage. It is the end of the American economy as we know it. What happened in the next 7 days? The entire thing was made up and then some, and you haven't heard a peep about it.
Just in terms of the economics of this, I mean, Republicans used to care about the deficit. I mean, under President Obama, there was so much focus, understandably, on the deficit and concern about it. You don't hear... There's hardly any Republicans who talk about the deficit.
Yeah.
And certainly the president who was going after President Obama on a much smaller deficit makes no mention.
Anderson Cooper trying to point towards the Republican Party and saying, hey, where are you on the deficits? I thought you guys were big deficit hawks when Obama was in office. And, you know, I kind of have to say, yeah, where are the Republicans right now on deficit spending? Why aren't we making the deficit smaller? And because I don't know the ins and outs of the economy the way other smart people in the room do. Tim Jones, can you
Do you have one of those sounders that says, you cannot be serious?
No.
Do you have anything like that?
It's like a
response to Anderson Cooper, do you have anything like that? Like, you cannot be serious or you've got to be joking? That's good. That's a good one.
That's not how it works.
Your Honor, I object.
There we go.
Why is that, Mr. Reed?
There we go.
Because it's devastating to my case.
Overruled.
Good call.
Wait a minute.
I could keep... I'm good at drops. I'm not good at...
Let's back up this truck for a second and talk about when Republicans have cared about the deficit and spending, which is all the time. But you know what happens, Anderson Cooper and you other lunatics on the networks that no one watches, except us, because we play their drops? We give them more ratings than regular viewers, I think. You know what they do? They then cut videos of people that look like Paul Ryan pushing old people off cliffs in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Ryan, and we can criticize the speaker for a lot of things, and people have, and I have, but I also like a lot of what he did and tried to do.
Ryan needs to be involved in the Republican Party going forward because...
Yep.
Paul Ryan might not be your kind of Republican or your kind of conservative, but we still need him in the collective. This is how we keep winning national elections.
He's incredibly brilliant. He's a genuine person, and I can say that because I've met him many, many times. He has come to Missouri many times. I've met him in his home district in Wisconsin when we did an event involving him and the tax cut effort a couple years ago. He cares about America. He cares about Wisconsin. He cares about the people of this country. And what he tried to do was say, yes, Anderson Cooper, you're right. Deficits are out of control. Spending is out of control. So guess what we have to look at? entitlements. We have to look at the welfare state that we have created. I mean, our founding fathers and mothers have to be rolling over in their graves with how much government is involved in everyday American lives and how the incentivization is there these days to not work instead of expanding your horizons, embracing the frontier spirit and what this country was founded upon, which was religious and economic freedom. And Gabe has written about this and published about this on his YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
I've watched some of the videos about it. So that's the problem. I completely agree with Anderson Cooper, but every time a Republican or a conservative dares to talk about cutting spending, where are you going to cut spending? Over two-thirds of the budgets of the federal government and every single state government are in two giant buckets. Yeah. They're in K through 12 and higher education and social welfare spending.
That's
Medicaid, Medicare, all of your help for everybody. And the problem is not the people who really need the services. It's the people that are gaming the system, wasting, defrauding, and abusing it.
Well, look who just caught up.
That's John Lovitz.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, he kind of has a point in that, yes, we don't talk as
Tim
much.
Tim or Anderson?
Do I have a point?
Sorry. Tim's got all the points. But
That's better than what most people say about my Twitter, that I kind of have a point. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
exactly.
You get tagged in a Tim Jones tweet,
oh,
you
it's
better
all
just,
night.
It
just
it's, put it's, your big girl pants
it's just freaking Thunderdome.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need another hero.
That's why he's got that singing in his intro. But look, Anderson Cooper does have a point in that, yeah, Republicans get a little too quiet for my taste on the deficit when there's a Republican administration in power. And that's a truth that we just have to accept. We have to call each other out on those things because, yes, it is. I think it is time to actually look at entitlements and things like that and actually
you know
make
who
some
can
more
do
proposals.
That? Donald Trump in his second term.
Yes, he can.
Correct.
So there you go. But the other thing is that when a Democrat administration is in, they're always looking to expand entitlements. They want to have a new class of people that they want to give free stuff to.
Just look at Illinois.
Yeah.
We have no money.
Look at Illinois.
We are providing a lot of things.
And look at the promises being made by the current Democratic presidential field. So, yeah. So when a Democratic president is in, we have to harp on the deficit because that's the only way we could even pretend to be waving at the responsibility that the administrations are going to have in the extra entitlements they want to throw out there. Now, Republicans tend not to make those sort of promises, so the deficit at least kind of stays relatively, or the promises of future spending aren't as
dire. You know what Trump's going to need? He's going to need a willing and able House and Senate.
Yes.
I think he'll have a Senate. I'm pretty sure the map looks good.
Yeah,
and I know the map looks good because nobody on CNN or MSNBC is talking about the U.S. Senate, which means they've already given it to the Republicans for next year because you don't hear a peep about
anybody
taking
running
over the Senate, right?
Anybody running for Senate.
So the Senate map looks good for 2020. So I believe Donald Trump will continue to have the Senate with my hero, Cocaine Mitch, at the helm. And there's a story behind that, by the way, that I looked up the other night.
It's about Tim Jones and his past.
Yes, it is. Mitch McConnell embraces that. He's actually made Cocaine Mitch t-shirts for his campaign workers.
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
Going full Trump.
Now, let me give you also, I found out some good news about the House.
Okay.
And you're not hearing a whole lot about the House races. Are you not hearing about, remember last year leading into 2018, it was nonstop wall-to-wall coverage about how the Democrats are going to take the House back?
Blue wave.
You're not hearing a lot about this because there are 31 congressional seats that Trump won in 2016 that Democrats currently hold. They only need 18 of them.
Oh.
The math is really good.
Okay.
So there's 31 Trump-held seats that they got in the mini blue wave that swept across the country, which kind of basically skipped Missouri.
One of them is Jeannie Ives in Northern Illinois.
Absolutely.
Taking out Sean Kasin.
Absolutely. There's another great lady, believe it or not, even in New York. In New York City, where you two are professionals, you know that you're
they know us
cosmopolitan.
By name. I don't know about professionals.
Staten Island,
yeah, New York.
Staten Island had a Republican congressman until about 2018, till last year. Mm-hmm. It flipped. There is a Greek American lady. I can't pronounce her last name. It's got a lot of consonants in it. Theolakopoulos or something like that. Mm-hmm. She was recruited.
Sounds legit.
She was recruited by our very own Congresswoman Ann Wagner.
Oh.
And this lady is going to likely take that back. So
nice.
We only need 18 out of 31. So the math looks really good. So they need a willing House and Senate. And you got to have a speaker at the helm. whether it's McCarthy or Scalise, I'll tell you, there's probably going to be a little bit of a leadership play there. Mm. And if they take the House back, and they've got to be willing to take on entitlement reform, right,
yeah,
Gabe? I mean, those are the big kahunas. You can't nibble around the edges of defense spending and this spending and that spending and maybe cutting a program here or there. Yeah, get rid of all the junk. But the big cost drivers are the reforms that are needed with entitlements.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.